catching up, though. Transportation Committee for Monday, May the 3rd. And appreciate everybody being here. And we have a published agenda. Item number two is approval of the minutes. Do we have a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
The minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. Anyone here to make a public comment, please come forward. Have 2 minutes. Anyone? Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you? I had the fortune of working with many of you in official capacity outside of the role, but today I'm here to represent Snead Farm Community Foundation. I have the pleasure, sometimes pain, of serving as the president of the HOA. And our neighborhood has a speeding issue. We know we have a public safety issue. Recently, we've seen over the last couple of years the evaluation and application of speed humps throughout the community. What I come today is really to ask two things. We'd like to work with the town to develop a comprehensive plan for Snead Farm. We know we have certain streets that were developed in a manner that create specific pinch points. We also think that there are other mitigating factors that we can apply to suppress speed and create a safer community for the whole. There's an active survey being done and a recommendation on Law Lane specifically now, but we think there's a greater opportunity, whether it's a task force, a committee, or some sort of body that we work with the town on. The OHOA is a financially well-capitalized organization. We have residents who are active and want to lean into this issue. We're willing to invest our time, treasure, and talent for a comprehensive strategy that would look at the whole 891 homes of a thriving community so that we can do that in a comprehensive manner. So that's the request, is to slow down. Let's not apply additional suppression measures now, and we'd like to form this collaborative process with the town to take a look at the whole and then come up with a set of recommendations, bring them back to this body, to our board, and to our residents, and apply them across the board. So, Mr. Mayor, that's what I am here to say, and thank you for the time.
We do need name and address, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Adrian Kane, 936 Cacique Province, Mount Pleasant.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Any others?
Good morning. Blake Smith, 1028 Law Lane. I am also in Snead Farm. I disagree with all of this. Just came to say my wife reached out. We've got a three-year-old and a one-year-old, been in Snead Farm for about 5 years now. I would agree that traffic is a bit congested around there, specifically on Law Lane into those three turns, a few of them blind turns, and do think it's 100% necessary. We've got a lot of influx of younger families in this neighborhood. I would say the majority of the houses that are turning over are new residents, younger families with kids. We've got multiple kids on this road and do think it is a very important thing. Speed limit 25, that is most certainly not adhered to. I have asked for police when they are around to patrol this more. I do think it's worth the town's resources to have them on busier streets and not so much here. I think what we heard over there was delay this and not do this. It seems simple to go ahead and put in a few couple of speed humps and be done with this. As far as the it is also not just for Snead Farm residents. This is a major cut through for other neighborhoods from 17 to the Long Point area, just adding more congestion in addition to all the contractors and yard maintenance on a daily basis throughout there. If you are ever wondering, feel free to come park in my driveway and watch it for a couple of minutes. I think you will be not pleased, but I think you will see where I'm going with this. On this, 41 residents there on that street. I didn't even go to another 8 because they were not home. That met the threshold of what we needed to do. I only had one person say no. She didn't like her name on literature, thought it was maybe something political. But everyone on this street, I think he's around on Cacique. That is not Law Lane. We are asking for the residents of Law Lane. Everyone here is in favor of it. I even stood out in front of my yard doing yard work on multiple occasions over the past 3 weeks getting this stopping people walking by. Most of them did not live on Law Lane, but were most certainly for it as well. So anybody using this road is most certainly for it. I can't think of many other objections to it, so I'll be brief and say thank you for your time. We would most certainly like to see some speed humps on Law Lane.
Thank you, Blake. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Anyone else for public comments?
Good morning. I am Jeremy Burnham, 1174 Plantation Lane. I'm currently one of Snee Farm's Board of Directors, and I currently serve as Chairman of Architecture Control. I'm not actually here to say whether I like speed humps or not like speed humps. I'm actually just here to kind of speak for the majority of Snee Farm. And the only issue that I had, and this is all the phone calls that I received asking me about it, was 52 addresses were brought into concern, 41 were returned. And just to give you a little bit of history, this goes back to when the speed humps were put in on Farm Quarter. About the same amount of addresses were actually asked about the speed humps, so nobody really knew that the speed humps were coming. The Snee Farm Villas, also none of them were asked, and one was put right in front of them. Like I said, I'm not here to say whether I'm for or against speed humps. When something affects a community of 900 residents, more than 50 should be asked, for the most part. And that's all I'm really here to say is we should at least put it out to the rest of Snee Farm that the speed hump affects, not just the 52 that were coveted. And I spoke with Mr. Paul Likens, and he didn't disagree with me. It's one of those things where when it affects a big community of hundreds and hundreds of people, I'm just asking that we broaden our search and we just kind of ask a few more other homeowners and ask them what they think about them. Of the 52 addresses that were asked, there's six of them that aren't even affected by the speed humps. They live before the first speed hump is proposed to go for. Like I said, I'm not here to vote one way or the other or show my support, but I just ask you to take into consideration the other 850 homeowners that are in Snee Farm into consideration versus just a 52 address area. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate it. Any others for public comment? If you'll give us your name and address, 2 minutes, please.
Sure. My name is Katie Brennan. I reside at 955 Legends Terrace, also in Snee Farm. I'm also on our HOA and serve as the communications chair. I want to echo, oddly enough, what all of my neighbors have said today. I'm also a parent of young children, and this is my second home in Snee Farm. My first one was actually on not Law Lane, but another fairly busy street, Parkway Drive, where we were impacted by some of the speed implications. I think what's important, certainly to what Jeremy, my fellow board member, said, is bringing this issue more broadly to the neighborhood to understand the impact of some of this behavior within the neighborhood. I share Mr. Smith's sentiments that Law Lane has some blind curves, that it is a well-traveled street, and anyone who resides on that obviously has concerns about the speed. But by putting more speed humps in the neighborhood, I worry that we're actually just solving what is, you know, kind of this immediate need that won't necessarily change the behavior overall in our neighborhood. And we need to have a more comprehensive approach, a little bit broader scale. We're committed to working with the town. We want our neighborhood to continue to be beautiful and lovely and safe for all the families. I just don't know that speed humps right away without bringing this to the broader neighborhood, looking at the ins and outs of it, is the solution at this time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else for public comments? All right. Thank you very much. Item number 4, employee years of service recognition. Do we have that today?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to ask Paul Likens to come up and recognize Rick.
Good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
The Engineering and Development Services Department would like to recognize Rick Griles for 15 years of dedicated service to the town. Rick came over to our department from the Purchasing Division, where for many years he was the procurement officer. His specialty is construction contract administration, and he does a very good job of keeping staff and the contractor in compliance with the contract, and he doesn't mind holding the contractor's feet to the fire while being fair and flexible and professional, and we're very glad to have him.
Thank you.
Can we take Matt down? Take your comfort.
Yeah.
And a proud Texan, too.
Thank you. Great. I take it that's the only one today?
Yes, sir.
All right. Item number 5 is approval of the fiscal year 21 traffic calming applications.
Yes, sir. It's that time of year, a little bit later just because of COVID and how we had to get the petitions processed. But last Friday, I did send a memo for what you see here now, which is our valuation spreadsheet that grades and then ranks the applications. So in summary, we had 4 qualified applications this year, 3 on the speed humps, on the speed hump side, and 1 on the radar sign side. Unfortunately, with the funding that we're at right now, we can fund 2 of them, that being the top in each category. The other 2 would remain unfunded, but we do have a provision in our program that says they move to the top for the next year. So that being said, initially when we were looking at this just a month ago, we thought the shortfall was much greater than the $37,000. Really, it's 32. We have 1 as a rebuild, which is slightly, it's not really in the ranking program. So, you know, we would continue to look for those monies within our capital maintenance program to see if we can do some things there to fund those other projects. But right now, we would ask that you would approve them all with those first 2 that we know we have funding for as the ones we would bid. And if you have any questions about this application or previous discussion that we had for Law Lane, I'd be happy to answer that, or maybe have staff if it's very detailed.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I would move for approval for discussion purposes of the staff recommendation. And if I know we are looking at this, but I think from a information standpoint for the people who've spoken, if Mr. Morrison could name the projects that we're looking at funding right now, might answer some questions.
Okay. Do you have a motion? Second?
Second.
Second. And we're in discussion, so let's do that in discussion.
I apologize for that. I should have done that right up front.
That's okay.
Mr. Chapman. As far as the speed cushions, I call them humps. I'm in the habit of saying humps. They're actually cushions now. But Banning Street and Carolina Park would be the number 1 that would be funded. There are 2 below that, Law Lane and Old Course, that would remain in an unfunded for now, but approved. And then on the radar feedback sign, it's Tupelo Forest Drive would get the radar feedback sign funded this year. So funded this year, Banning Street and Tupelo Forest Drive. The other 2 are approved but unfunded.
And so as just a continuation, that would mean that that would give us a chance to look at the idea of a more comprehensive review of Snee Farm. Am I correct? Or do you need some additional motion to do that?
I think we can do that. You know, the program, we've talked about this program a good bit, and it's not perfect in the sense that when you start trying to, you work with a geographic area, and while the geographic area, certain parts of it start getting humps and other parts don't, well, that's obviously some support for humps within the neighborhood because those streets are doing it. Are really the litmus test for us when we do petitionaries is there a reasonable alternative to avoid the humps? And it, as more and more get implemented, there's less and less chance for that, right? So there still is in this case where the Law Lane application, unfortunately, it's just that's the way the program is built right now. So while we can have those discussions, I mean, per the program, they have met the qualifications of the program, they met the petition area, and they've qualified.
Thank you.
Okay, so the qualifier there is they qualified, they've met the petition, they can be built, but we still have the ability to move forward to discuss and see if that's the best way to go. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. I mean, if your direction is to engage with the HOA, once again, the HOA is notified of this at the beginning, but if your direction would be for us to have that discussion, we certainly can, to see if there's some reasonable tweaks to what we're considering on Law Lane. But in the end, if not, I think the program would prevail in that that's the way it's written now and they've qualified. But that's really ultimately at this committee's discretion.
Okay. Mr. Chet.
I just wanted to make sure that we looked at all the alternatives, number one. And it may be that we do Law Lane and look at some other things, or part of Law Lane and do other things. So I just want to make sure we give Mr. Morrison that opportunity.
Okay. Ms. Laney.
So a couple things here. First of all, if we take the action today of approving this, even though the funding isn't there, does that in some way, it seems to me that might make it harder for people that are trying to negotiate other directions. We've definitely heard both sides of this issue and from multiple people. And we're also all aware from having served on this committee and also our own neighborhoods that the traffic calming things, such as you're calling them cushions now, are the cushions different than the speed humps, like a different height or something?
They are. They're instead of the asphalt, we've moved away from the asphalt hump and put in the rubberized cushions so that our emergency vehicles can actually straddle the cushion and not be affected by, but a car is affected by it.
So that was one of the big concerns, because I know this was brought up in my neighborhood as well. So the effort that SNEE Farm is talking about of trying to do something more comprehensive that Mr. Kane brought to the table, is if we vote today on this being approved, does that make it more difficult for them to do something? I mean, that's within their own community. It's an HOA thing, but how does our vote affect that?
Your vote's basically saying we're going to approve the humps, but I think I understand what you're saying is, well, why don't we go this route? Why don't I meet with the HOA, our staff meet with the HOA, see if there is some modification to what we currently have envisioned in our mind about how we would standard hump or speed cushion treatment, and then just come back to you next month. It's unfunded right now, so and then maybe you can make a final decision based upon what staff gives you feedback on and any other feedback you get from the community. But we certainly want to listen and do what we can if there is some flexibility here.
If we were to deny this motion by a vote and do a new one that just approved the ones that are funded, does that make it easier to negotiate, or does it make any difference?
It's up to you, Ms. Landing. Certainly we need the approval for the two so we can bid them, the two that we can fund. If you want to hold off on the other two, that's an option also, if you want to try to keep it cleaner, is kind of what I hear you saying.
I think my motion was to fund the two that we've got money for, and
yep.
Then we'll work on the others as we have the availability of funding. But the timing allows us to do what Mr. Morrison is suggesting.
Well, I asked the question, does our approval today mean, based on the motion that was made, mean that the humps are approved? And you said yes.
Well, that's the way I presented it. But obviously, if Mr. Chapman kind of wants to approve the two and say, hey, please work with this other application and bring back some information so that we can make a final informed decision, I think that's certainly appropriate.
That was my motion.
Okay.
Just a question. Yes. Just a question. So is the main concern then from a street? I've seen humps change my own neighborhood's life completely. They were a life changer. So I would want to support Law Lane with getting their humps, but how does that affect the other community members? Is it just because the assumption that people are then going to take the roads that don't have a hump?
It's just an
option. Increased traffic in those.
If they don't wish to drive over hump, then
right.
there's a way out that you don't have to go over hump. If whatever your concern is about the hump cushion,
Otherwise, they just traverse over the cushion just like everybody else would.
And go slow and...
Yes, ma'am.
There's no damage, right? I've gone over speed bumps in my neighborhood for years and my car's fine. So again, we're voting to... I'm interested in moving those speed bumps on, like helping those people get those speed bumps. Does that make sense?
Yes. One more. Yes. So this exact thing came up with my neighborhood, and we had someone that was very involved in opinions regarding first responders who also lived in the general area who we ended up not doing speed humps and, well, cushions. Cushions sound like they're a little bit more amenable because they work a lot better for the first responder fire trucks and so forth. And honestly, what we have instead is a stop sign, and everybody rolls right through it, and it terrifies me because I'm a runner and I see them just flying down the road, and it's a lot of children. So I personally do feel that these speed cushions have a lot more benefit in terms of actually slowing people down. So I'd be in favor of that part as well.
Let me ask, when did the process for the ones on Law Lane, when did it begin, the petition and the idea and all that? How long has it been in the works?
I'll let Gary correct me if I'm wrong, but it's in the May-June process of last year that we start. Of course, that was during COVID, and we had to recognize we couldn't take traffic counts because traffic had completely changed, that would be representative of typical conditions. That got pushed off till we got into more of a regular period. And then just being safe about asking people to go around and solicit petitions, that was another thing. So, and we've always been very flexible with that. We've changed the program actually to allow us to collect data to say if you even qualify before you go put all that effort into a petition. So we kind of flipped it. So I think it makes it more efficient, but we wanted to be safe about when they could do those things, and it's just pushed us back. But it hasn't done anything unreasonable that we can't accommodate in procurement or any delayed decisions. I mean, it's really up to you, sir.
So the traffic count was met, the petition requirement was met, the
yes.
time period has been met. Right. I'm inclined to go with the motion, which would approve it. But yet we can still talk with the HOA and find out, because one thing we've learned, you squeeze water one place, it goes to another. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have a comprehensive approach. But this has followed the process and can be rightfully approved.
Yes, sir.
Now, we can also improve on that plan, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I lived in Snee Farm for 5 of the last 11 years. I know what you're dealing with. And I think this is a reasonable compromise on that. Are we ready to vote?
Yes, sir.
All right. All in favor of the motion to approve, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The motion is approved. Is that all on the traffic calming, or is there any? That's it. Okay. Item number 6 is a memorandum of understanding between the town of Mount Pleasant and Friends of the Kenny Mile.
I think Mr. DeMore is going to take this.
Mr. Mayor, members of the committee, I can go ahead and handle this one. What you were sent was a draft MOU for our participation in working with this soon-to-be nonprofit, who will end up being essentially a fundraising group that can help us with Mount Pleasant Way. As you know, there is Greenbelt money that allows for us to secure property. That money does not allow for the construction of. We have some money to do that in certain areas. As you know, it's in our capital plan, but we would certainly need a shot in the arm from an outside group to help us achieve more and to help us achieve the formation of the Mount Pleasant Way more quickly. And so myself, those of us at the staff level are excited about this. You noticed by the specific points of the MOU that our job, the town's in control of this. The Friends of Kenny Mile, their sole job is to raise money and deliver it towards Mount Pleasant Way. And so we support it, I support it, I'm excited about being involved in it, and would appreciate approval on our end, a recommendation here, and then approval at council.
Mayor, I move for approval of the staff recommendation.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is approved. Thank you very much. Thank you, Councilman O'Rourke, for spearheading this.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Number seven is ongoing projects. We'll keep it short, but you might have a few, and then I've got a couple of questions or something we might could follow up next month.
Yes, sir. I just have a few updates. I usually talk about our big three projects this time of year or this during this phase because we're getting so close to actually getting boots on the ground on a couple of our projects. For the Billy Swales project, our environmental document is still under NEPA review by the federal agencies. However, we have we know it's been reviewed because we're getting comments. And that's a good sign for us. The consultant is currently coordinating drainage design with our EDS staff, our engineering development services staff, as well as the consultant who's doing the US 17 to Rifle Range connector project, because both of those projects are in the same vicinity and they both cross a large wetland. So we want to make sure we coordinate all the drainage there. When the NEPA document does get approved, we will be ready to go with right-of-way plans and right-of-way acquisition on Billy Swales. Okay. On the US 17 to Rifle Range connector project, we're in a similar situation. We are in right-of-way negotiations now. Our consultants are out trying to get slope permissions where the slopes fall outside of the new right-of-way line before we make appraisals. So that process is ongoing. Our plans are currently being reviewed by the DRT staff and the SEDOT, and we have our state certifications that are required for our Corps of Engineers permit. So that's a big milestone for us. All we need is the permit for that project, finish the right-of-way acquisition and bid it, and we'll be into construction later this year on that project. So we're very excited there.
So we'll be in construction on the 17 to Rifle Range Road later this year?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
There's a calendar right there, actually in November. And then finally, the project we're closest to getting started is the Patriots Point Gateway project. Plans are currently being reviewed by DRT staff. We have made appraisals on all the properties that we have to acquire. And the good news there is our appraisals for all the properties total is approximately $275,000 less than we had estimated. Now, we still have to negotiate with these landowners, but it's good to note that our appraisals are coming in less than estimated. And we have our wetlands permit. All offers are being made this week on the acquisitions, and we've had our cost estimates verified by independent contractors. We're going to do that again in light of the most recent cost increases, so that we can stay ahead of this budget issue like other projects haven't been. So and that's where we are.
Remind me, is that TIF money? Or at least a portion of it, I think it was.
Yes.
Portion of it was TIF.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Is that it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Quick question. At the last Wando Good Neighbors meeting that State Ports Authority held with our neighborhoods that are in the town and trucking companies and all that, maybe they've gotten in touch. They were going to, the State Ports Authority said they would split the cost with the town to put one of those radar sign indicators up, mainly so truckers know how fast they're actually going.
Okay.
Brad, I hope somebody has gotten in touch. If they haven't, let's see what we can do.
Yes, sir. We've started those conversations, and we need to pull the DOT into it since it's their road.
Right.
But absolutely, if they're a willing partner, we can figure out a way that the DOT would permit that. I think that's something certainly we could participate in.
That sounds good. Appreciate it. Yes, ma'am.
Two quick updates. One is a question, and that is we were hoping and thinking and projecting April 30th was the completion for Park West Boulevard widening, and I just drove down it yesterday, and so it looks like it's still a little ways out. How far?
Yes, ma'am, and I did mean to update you on the committee on that project. According to Daniel, the project manager, all the paving will be complete in about 2 weeks. The contractor's had some issues with staffing, and he's had to pull crews off to go fix other. Dominion is installing the lighting out there, and that's causing problems with other. He's having to pull off and go clean up and fix up after that contractor. But paving will be completed in about 2 weeks, and then everything will be wrapped up, cleaned up, closed out by the end of June. So it'll be open for traffic in about 2 weeks.
Okay, so open for traffic in mid-May.
Yes, ma'am.
But not complete totally until the end of June.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. And the other update is that since the meeting that we had that Charleston County came back and told us the new alternative idea, I know I've been, and so has Mr. Chapman, been on some meetings with the Phillips community and others. And one of the things that came out of the Phillips community meeting was that the people of Charleston County Engineering were not aware that in the settlement of Cambridge Square, we purchased all those units back from Park West. They did not realize that Park West is virtually fully built out. We had purchased over 2,800 units back, and I met with the POA presidents of both Dunes West and Park West, and the combined total number of units available to build upon is 35. So this was total news to Charleston County, and I wanted to point that out because that combined with the information that I sent to Mr. Morrison and also to Jim Armstrong, Charleston County engineer, about a possible back way to have Park West folks go straight out to 17 instead of having to come down to the circle at Bessemer, take Bessemer and take 41, which potentially involves 1,000 to 1,200 homes and therefore potentially a couple thousand cars a day. What I'm saying is little things that are suddenly coming to light are making it more and more clear that maybe we really could do a 434 as opposed to something that creates a $50 million addition to the Highway 41 expansion. Just any thoughts or comments on that?
Very good comments. There's a lot of revisiting things, is what I'll say, and revisiting with neighborhoods. A lot of communications going on with the individual neighborhoods. That's what they've been doing the last 8 weeks now. Revisiting some of the previous assumptions that have been made. To your point. Specifically on the issue about this other road, we had them look at query OD origin destination data so that we can really pin down what's happening within Park West. What understanding the magnitude of the growth there is not going to be as significant as maybe some assumed. So what would a road like that, how would that affect, you know, could it affect a decision on 41? They're looking at all that. I think that this council sent a pretty strong message about, you know, this really needs to be reevaluated and really trying to find some good compromise that makes sense, that's reasonable and makes sense. So I think they heard you, and I think I've been a part of those conversations as far as just where they're at, and they'll be coming back to you soon to say, here are our thoughts now on some of the objectives that you've mentioned.
How soon do you think that might be?
I don't think it's going to be, well, it won't be this month. I think that they're finding that the re-engagement and the getting different ideas and trying to think like they're thinking differently about 17. They have a new concept there that tries to be more sensitive to the 7 mile community. Mm-hmm. So I think the conversation that happened a couple months ago was good in the sense that it got it moving in a better direction. But I don't think it's going to be before June, obviously before any. I think that they obviously need to come back to this body and make a report, this body being the whole council.
If I could add one more thing to that. So another direction that I was planning to pursue, but it might actually be better to have it be a coordinated effort, is that a tremendous amount of the projections of why we would need things like Dunes West Boulevard widened when we don't our studies have shown year after year it's not necessary, and I can tell you anecdotally and observation-wise it doesn't seem like it's necessary. But 5 years out, they're talking about 20 years out, and all of their commentary from what they shared with us in those meetings was that it has a lot to do with Berkeley County, the Cane Hoy area, and Clements Ferry Road and all of that. And so I believe what we need to do is pursue conversations with people like Johnny Cribb. You know, he's the Berkeley County Administrator. And why would they all need to come this way? They're building a lot of homes. There's no question about it. I see it all the time. But they're also building a lot of services. You know, what are the number one reasons they would cross over to our direction versus the other? Obviously, some jobs, the hospital, et cetera. How do we know they're not building a hospital out there at some point soon? It's a massive amount of building that's going to happen. So I think that the assumption that the town of Mount Pleasant has to bear the burden of the growth of Berkeley County development is another one that needs to be questioned.
We can certainly, I think those conversations are ongoing. I don't want to get into a big technical analysis, but to that point specifically, when you model something, it truly is a case of if you model something, if you build it, that being the infrastructure, they will come. So if you can back off some of those assumptions and say, well, you know, should we not attract that additional traffic demand by doing something a little bit different, then that's an assumption that can drive your final decision on the design. So I just trying to say all those things are on the table and being evaluated. I think the message was clear.
Okay. I want to go back to one thing on Park West Boulevard.
Yes, sir.
Where you come into the traffic circle there, especially at night, it's real hard to know where to go. My daughter lives right off it, and I've heard from a few citizens, and I've driven it a good many times, and I get kind of confused. If the contractor could put some signs, maybe some lights out there, it's disorienting.
Is it the circle that's under construction?
Yes.
I assume?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It's hard to know where the lane is and who's going which direction.
Yes,
and I know that's a small thing, but...
No, we can take it.
And during the day, it's hard.
Even during the day.
No, it is.
Yes, absolutely. That's what this is for.
And I'm not sure who's got the answer to this, but Eric, what part of traffic calming, where does traffic, the police come in? So policing, I always get questions about that, and I never know the answer because people are always asking for if we could just get a patrol just kind of catching speeding people.
We have a traffic bureau, and that's their, well, they have many duties, but that certainly is one of them. It's a town-wide problem. My guess is it's a problem in just about every community. If you boil it down, it's about driver behavior. I can say that our men and women write tickets for violations. We write about 1,500 traffic violation tickets a year. And so, I mean, that's 100 plus a month.
In neighborhoods as well, not just
yeah.
17, but
oh, yeah.
Like small 25 mile an hour streets.
Yeah, running stop signs. I mean, it's just the problem is bigger. And in some ways, we try to nibble around the edges and traffic cushions, but we do the best we can. But it's going to boil down to driver behavior and taking responsibility as a citizen to slow down in neighborhoods.
But we have enough staff and plenty of people to patrol. And
yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
We had that meeting. Was it Wednesday? Beach traffic meeting?
Yes.
The Secretary of Transportation was there. The Commissioner Robbie Robbins was there, who's on the Highway Commission and all of that, and the local municipalities. The follow-up to that was one, I think Mount Pleasant did a very good job, and thank you and to Chief Ritchie for everything we do to coordinate it on our side to try to keep people moving. One of the things we learned in that, and I've been sitting on this committee for 6 years now, I'd never heard this before, once traffic stops, for every minute that it stopped, it takes 5 to 6 minutes for it to recover. So if that beach traffic gets stopped, it's gonna take a long time for it to recover. So they're trying to get the parking side fixed on the islands. That's all been in the thing, but not just how many spaces, but how they park and pay. But the follow-up to that meeting is at the staff level, and I guess they're gonna follow up with you, Eric, is that they want a standing committee of all of our staff level working on on beach traffic issues, but one of the big things is we've got to get word out to the public. When the parking, you know, at the county park on the Isle of Palms is full or whatever, Lord, I wish, and I think some cities have a an app, Howard, for parking that shows you where parking spaces are available. If they could get that for the beach and just get that out, that Beach Reach app and all of that, if people just know when peak time is, plan those trips, because we feel it in Mount Pleasant. So keep us posted when they follow up on that.
Will do.
That would be fantastic. Any other follow-ups? Paul, thank you for those. Yep. Committee, y'all good? Everybody's good? Thank you.
Thank you.
We stand adjourned.
You guys.